Brethren, as human beings, we have to make decisions, set priorities, and develop goals for our future every day. Really, all the plans that we make lend themselves to something that's upcoming. They're future-looking. You know, we have memories, we have fond memories often that look back, but when we make a decision, it's for something at the moment, in these moments before us, or sometimes far into the future. Now, some people are more focused on that than others. If you were to look at their calendars, you might see them color-coded and cross-referenced, and, you know, they're just a study in efficiency and efficiency and precision as they look forward. Now, others take a little bit more laid-back approach to that, and I'm not passing judgment on what is better or what is worse, but some people will sometimes turn to something like Matthew 6, and say that, you know, Christ tells us not to waste our energy, not to bother making plans, you know, that we should just take life as it comes, that we have to put our faith and our expectation and our confidence in God, and that in part would be true. But we're also told, as students of the Bible, as disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are to be rightly dividing His Word, to understanding the context, to knowing our Bibles well enough that when somebody challenges us with something, that we're prepared to say, I agree with that, or I disagree, and let me tell you why. You know, we're not to be fighters, we're not to be argumentative, and we do have to choose wisely when and what to say, but do we know our Bibles well enough to be able to say, well, wait a minute, you're not giving the whole story. You're not using that in the context in which it was meant. This morning, I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and I'd like to review what it is that scripture and some others that I'll refer to tell us about the subject of planning for our future. Because we can tell our children, and I've heard many people say it, and I've said this to my children, guys, you can be almost anything you wish to be, but you can't do it from the armchair of your couch. It's going to take effort. It's going to take planning. It's going to take plans and resources and time and effort in order to get there. Let's first read through the verses 25 through 30. And I know I'm breaking one of our cardinal rules for a sermonette about trying to keep it to as few verses as possible. But this is, again, to get the context of the idea that's being portrayed here and how people will use it sometimes improperly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body and what we shall put on our bodies. Is not life more than meat and body more than raiment?" Now that in and of itself is true, and it's a deep and profound statement of wisdom when we take time to think about it. It goes on here in verse 26. It says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not," meaning they don't work and build up. Yes, they build a nest and they feed their babies, but they really don't have a plan. They don't have a retirement plan. They're not building, you know, long-term, multi-generational plans. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet our heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? For which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" So again, we're getting something laid out that begins to take us in the direction of, you know what, you really don't need to worry about all these things and plan for these things because that's God's effort, that's God's program. Verse 28, "And why take you thought for your raiment or your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And they are indeed things of beauty. Verse 30, this is the capstone that many will use. "Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And so sometimes if we come on strong that we need to be planning, we need to be storing things up, we need to be making plans for the future, and someone turns around and says, well, then that's not a show of faith. Are we prepared to even bicker with them a little bit over their understanding and the fuller understanding of the Scripture? What are we being told here, brethren? Does this scripture, as some will claim, tell us not to plan for the future? I'd like to turn to the commentary first on the Bible, and there's a couple of excerpts I'll take from different ones here that talk about Matthew chapter 6 in this verse 25 section. It says, in regard to this passage, the English word thought, when it says take no thought, express the idea of solicitude, which is another word that we don't use, or anxious concern. So I used the term worry earlier. It says, take no thought, and that doesn't mean that just dismiss it and don't make any plans, but it says, don't have any anxious concern, as may be seen in many old English classic writings. It goes on to say, but this sense of the word is now nearly gone out or not used anymore, and so the mere English reader is apt to be perplexed when we read that and it says, take no thought. Give no thought, no planning to that. It says, thought or forethought for temporal things in the sense of reflection or consideration is required both by Scripture and by common sense. But anxious distraction divides the mind and draws it in different ways, potentially rendering us incapable of attending to solemn or important concerns. And so now you begin to get the flavor when you look a little bit deeper. And so often we talk about using different references to be able to understand what truly is being said, not only in the context of the passage, but deeper sometimes in the words. It says, the text goes on to say, to show anxious concern in regard to the basic needs of life is to lose sight of the blessings which God provides. And so, yes, we should have blessings, that God is guiding our steps and guiding our lives, and that we should be making our decisions based on our understanding of the Bible and our prayers and consideration of God's will as well. But to sit back and do nothing and wait for God's providence is inappropriate. It says here, I guess I'm jumping ahead of myself. On the other hand, to rely solely on providence so as not to use the powers and faculties which God has endowed us with is equally inappropriate. The commentary closes this section by saying, we must labor without placing our confidence in that labor. We'll touch on another verse later that says that. You know, when we have too much self-confidence, when we get cocky, what does it say? Pride comes before a fall. So we always need to be looking toward the teachings of God and the will of God for our future. So it says, we must labor without placing our confidence in that labor. We must show faith, expecting all our needs to be fulfilled by the blessing of God. And in so doing, we obey His will and cooperate with His providence. So again, we work as the effort builds the blessings, and we also stay in touch with God. So first we have to see that we're not being told here to disregard the details of life, the responsibilities that we have. We're actually being told not to let those physical cares agitate us to the point that we lose the ability to stay calm and focus on and work in tandem or in team with God as our life rolls out. To reinforce this point, I'd like to refer to several scriptures that show that God does indeed work very strong at this concept of planning and forward-looking. In Exodus chapter 20, we see the structure of the commandments laid out for us. And God's instructions to us are, this is how you will live your life and relate to mankind. And these are how you will live your life and relate to me. And therefore, we see that God's instructions, the basic foundation of His law, are forward-looking. They are about planning for the future and making it as friendly and as close-knit and as righteous as possible when we look forward in God's law. Leviticus 23, we see that God instructs the nation of Israel regarding His holy days. And we know that this indeed looks forward. And we constantly go through the annual process of the holy days to help us understand the future that God has planned from the foundation of the world for us and our part in it. And we get excited as we pass each of those milestones on an annual basis and look forward to the next one. So God's plan, in all of its facets, are forward-looking. That's the whole plan, to bring many sons to glory and daughters to glory in the future. Proverbs chapter 6, we read about the positive qualities of the ant and the effort that he's making to collect and to store up for the future, to make sure that he has food in more difficult times. That same passage in Proverbs 6 talks about those that don't plan and work in such a manner in the human sense, and they're referred to as sluggards. And so those that are lazy, those that are truly going to sit back and fold their hands and wait for somebody else to take care of them, are chastised. And so again, we see if somebody were to say, well, you don't have faith because you're making plans. No, God's plans constantly show, and His instructions constantly show that we should. And in Luke chapter 14, it says, for which of you would intend to build a tower and not sit down first and count the cost to see that you have enough to finish it? And that concept of a tower is like a home or a castle. It's a significant undertaking. And when we go about doing that, if we just sit there on a stump and wait for this tower to take shape itself, that's foolish. So we do have to plan. We do have to, you know, harness our resources and such. So we see many places in Scripture that structure and planning and work toward a future goal is clearly supported through those references. As a final reference today, let's turn to James chapter 4 and verse 13. I talked earlier about our overconfidence, our cockiness perhaps in the plans that we make. But if we spend our time on our knees each day, seeking God's will as it tells us to, then we know that we should or should not be moving in a particular direction. And the rest of it we do indeed leave in God's hands. James chapter 4 and verse 13. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a place, such a city, and spend a year there, and we'll buy and sell, and we'll make a profit." So they have business plans that they're going to do. And again, we do have business to take care of. But it goes on to say, "Whereas you don't know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say," and this again is the teamwork that we use, the guidance, the shepherding that God gives us if we search out His will. It says, "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that." So when we put those plans before God and ask for His blessing and guidance in them, we may find that they don't take root, they don't take shape for some reason or other. And then sometimes in retrospect, we look back and say, you know what? Somebody else did something about the same way, the same time, and it really fell apart, and that could have been me. So I see God's providence in my life, sometimes by the things that happen, and sometimes by the things that don't. Remember the commentary that said, "We must labor without placing our confidence in our labor. We must practice faith, expecting all from the blessing of God. In so doing, we obey His will and cooperate with His providence." Brethren, we've seen during this message that the Bible often refers to thoughtful planning for the future. We're instructed to work toward many different physical and spiritual goals, and we know that God has an eternal plan, as I've referred to already, in place for mankind, something that's been in place since the foundation of the world and that He teaches us and trains us on and opens our eyes to in the pages of the Bible. I'd like us to turn back to where we started this morning, to Matthew chapter 6, to wrap things up. Brethren, one of the greatest caveats that we need to always keep in mind when it comes to Bible study and when it comes to our answer perhaps to somebody else is that the Bible, God's Word, is perfect and does not contradict itself. And therefore, if somebody throws something at us to say, "Well, you shouldn't do this," and again, as we go through the database in our head and we say, "Wait a minute, but the context of that really means this," or "That doesn't agree with this over here, and therefore we must be misinterpreting it." So let's look a little bit deeper. Again, consider when we were young and we were being taught to tie our shoes. There's a series of activities that all have to be done to succeed, to finish that project out. And if you only learned the first half of them, then all your efforts would be meaningless because you couldn't tie it up, you couldn't finish the job. And so we have to read through and recognize the context and the teachings that are evident in this passage as well as so many others. We started in verse 25 and we talked about how some come to different conclusions about what's being said, what's being recommended. But Christ goes on to tell us that God knows our needs. And in verse 33, He caps off the lesson with this. And that's what we need to do as we're reading through. If there's a question, or read beyond maybe even what seems the end of that particular lesson to make sure that you can see where it comes together. And then if you go back to the commentaries and such, you have it explained to you in greater detail. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, it says, "God knows all these things you need, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So like the ant, when we're going about putting our efforts together, making our plans, getting down on our knees and looking at the Scripture and say, "Wait a minute, am I doing this with the right heart? Am I doing it with the right energy? Is anything I'm going to do going to conflict with me attending services or am I taking the tithe money that I should be saving and trying to put it into some other plan? That's contrary to God's will and it's not going to work in the long run." And so when we look at this, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the things that He's laid out. This is my law. These are my commandments. These are my holy days. This is how you love mankind. This is how you love me and you show respect for me." Those are the things that if we seek first, the rest of life will be fleshed out. Blessings will come, brother, and we can all talk and often have about, it was amazing how this fell into place. It's amazing how my career took a turn at this point. It's amazing how I ended up getting stationed back at some place that I shouldn't have been. These conversations take place between us all the time. And when we leave ourselves in God's capable hands, all things work to the good of those who seek His will, to seek His understanding, and to then charge down that road which He clearly lays out for us. Brethren, we have to juggle many things in this life, and we should keep cool heads as we go about that business. But more importantly, God wants us to prepare for that glorious future that He's planned for us and laid out before us, and we need to keep our eyes focused on that at all times. Today, brethren, we visited the concept of context and addressed what some refer to as a difficult scripture, clarifying what some might use as an argument against planning for the future and as a challenge to your faith. God provides us with examples in Scripture that support the concept of planning and effort and work, but they also show character and submission to His will. We're warned not to get too wrapped up that those plans make us lose sight of Him in the process. Brethren, let's work hard at achieving all that God permits us in this life, but never lose sight of His sovereignty in every facet of our lives.